Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Dental Practice Launch Podcast, and specifically in our startup series, the building, the making of the Voorhees Pediatric Dentistry startup with Dr. Dan Deanowitz. Of course, I'm your host, Shane Simmons. I'm the owner of Crimson Media Dental Marketing, and of course, my co-host, as you would say, in this series, Dr. Dan is here. And Dan, what's been going on since we chatted on, you know, last episode 3? We chat about real estate, and we got an interesting episode coming up today. But before we get into it, you know, what's been going on, and how's things coming along?
Oh my God, so much. So in real time right now, we are doing demolition just happened. So we got permits approved and the whole space got gutted out. And right now they're doing trenching, which means they are putting in they're cutting into the cement to make way for the electric and other utilities. And so my office right now, if I sent you a picture of it, you would not be mistaken if you confused it with a dirt bike track. It's really crazy looking. And so, you know, right on top of that is, you know, we're overlaying that floor plan that we worked on, you know, for a long time. And you know, it's going to come together. It's nuts to think that, though.
And well, you mentioned, you know, the dirt bike track, and I know you got some sons. I was like, they probably think that's awesome right now, right? They probably think the office is the coolest now than it's ever going to be.
Yeah. I'm sure I'd get a lot of patients that way. Yeah.
Well, we're excited about just kind of seeing this thing come into life. And I mean, even since the first episode, when we talked about just the idea, really, of Voorhees Pediatric Dentistry, and then here we are today where we've got dirt, you know, we've got dirt where we're digging trenches and where we're starting. And here before we know it, we'll have, you know, walls and different structures, and super exciting. And you know, today is going to be a topic that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in hearing, because it's about really what you're going to, you know, deal with as far as from the function of your office every single day, day in and day out, and that is the floor plan and how the practice is laid out. And today we have a very special guest joining us. This is John Malone from Ideal Practices. He is their, you know, floor plan master, as I know they like to call him. But John, thank you so much for joining us on episode 4 of this series.
Oh, thank you so much. You're welcome. Welcome. This is an exciting part of the process when we get to the design phase.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that, you know, you've been just an integral part in Dr. Dan's, you know, journey here and process of building out this dream practice. And before we dive in specifically with Dan, you know, I know you've done this, you know, so many times with so many different startups. What makes it such an important aspect, the floor design, that is, when it comes to a startup? Why is that such an important, you know, aspect of the practice?
Well, this is the birth of their career. This is the birth of their practice. It has to be profitable. It has to be efficient. We have to create a new culture for both the patients and the team members. So many things have changed over the past few years with how people approach dentistry as far as a patient and as far as, you know, retaining team members and creating that new culture that brings in patients and keeps team members. It's paramount to, it is a business. Dentistry is a business. Although, you know, my love of dentistry is what dentists do for humanity. I mean, how they change people's lives. But reality is the business. So it has to be functional. It has to be laid out efficiently. I mean, we can build a dental office, a poorly designed office, just as well as a good one. So we have to make sure that we put the walls in the right place. We make sure that we listen to the client and understand which direction they want to go and how they want to attract patients. So there's numerous reasons.
I think one thing that makes it probably even more interesting in your job is, you know, designing floor plans for, not just dentists, but, you know, different specialties of dentists. So in, you know, Dan's case, a pediatric dentist too, right? Are there some differences there?
Oh, there is always a significant difference between all the different disciplines, from endodontist to prosthodontist to pediatrist, you know, orthodontist. It all has those interesting intricacies that we have to include into the fabric of the designs. We have to be very cautious of children and how they are brought in and out of office. They're removing their stress, removing their fears. And we remove that, that removes the parents being upset, you know, if their child is going to be, you know, brought into an experience that they're not going to be comfortable with. So it's very important that we make that from the, when the patient enters, a child now enters the office, to when they're exiting, make them feel as comfortable as they can. It's a lot of unique design elements we use for that.
And I know, Dan, you know, when you started this process and going through designing the floor plan and making sure that it was right for, you know, what you were looking for, and then certainly, you know, trusting, you know, John's expertise as well, I would love to hear just a little bit of some of the things that you were maybe going into this, you know, looking for specifically. Maybe there wasn't anything specifically. And I know, of course, you know, your wife, Michelle, who will be, you know, making an appearance with us in future episodes too, has been integral in this process too. But I'd love to hear just a little bit about, you know, kind of going into this and designing the floor plan. You know, what's your headspace like there?
Yeah. So first off, I just want to put John up on a pedestal. He is like a niche celebrity in the dental world. And you never know it from his humbleness. He's amazing. So I, like, you know, when I start, you know, showing people my like floor plans, like, that's a John Malone floor plan. Like, that's like well thought out. So thank you, John. So going into this, I didn't have a whole lot of preconceptions. I learned a little bit from, you know, different resources. I saw some online seminars actually from John, and you know, I knew there were some differences and basic things, but I didn't know what I was going to get for real estate. So once I found that space that we spoke about in the last episode, this was a perfect rectangular space, a very classic, typical dental office. And when I went in there, it was already, there was drywall up everywhere for a former dental, a former medical billing practice. So just very dry hallway down and, you know, cubicle rooms on each side. So I thought, all right, I guess this is my office. I guess this is what it's going to be. My realtor kind of chuckled and he's like, no, not at all. Like, this is all going to be demoed and then like it's going to be completely different. And I could not believe, so like when we brought this, you know, floor plan to John and I showed him this rectangle, he's like, all right, you know, like just wait and see. And when he came back to me with the first couple of drafts, I was, you know, like blown away at like, oh, I didn't think you could, like, you know, get a hallway there and a wall there. And then going to the other point where, like, you know, he works specifically for each specialty. There was a wall that I wanted to do. I don't know if you remember, John. It was like a tiny little wall in a nook in the guest lounge. And you kind of talked me out of it because the idea was that kids would be hidden, you know.
Patient safety.
Yeah, patient safety. You know, it was supposed to be a play space. And we still have that play space, but the kids would be not visible to their parents or the front desk team. So so we just, you know, we nixed it, and it actually was a really great idea. So yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I was going to ask John, so, you know, Dan brought up, you know, at the point that this was kind of like a classic layout as far as, you know, kind of rectangular layout. So when you see this space, and you know, you know the, you get Dr. Dan, you're talking with him and the team, what are some of the things that you're looking for from him specifically, I guess, before you start to dive in? Do you ask if they have a certain vision? And I guess, what are some of the pieces there that go into it to allow you to kind of start getting the ball rolling?
Well, there's a lot of good questions there. First thing, we'll start off with the floor plan of the building. All right. As soon as that's sent to me, I start analyzing that right away. I see, I want to make sure that with doing my preliminary studies that we have the proper amount of square feet that gives a proportionally good ratio of the disciplines in the dental office. Okay. We don't want to be overpowered to with all clinical, so that we don't have support with our clinical, with our sterilization laboratory, PANSEF area, you know, those disciplines, that we have, you know, people aren't waiting in their cars for their appointment. You know, there's plenty of seating, you know, and we want to make sure that there's a balanced area. And then we also analyze the structure itself. We want to see, you know, Dan picked out a great spot. I had two out of the four walls had windows. We could celebrate those windows for the patients being calm. And then it was also some other things. It was some existing plumbing that we could capitalize. We could value engineering, how we could manipulate the plumbing to be utilizing those areas. It was a separate entrance for the team to enter and exit without coming through the front door. And it was also, there's always a hiccup in every office I work on. You know, Shane, it's amazing. After all these years of designing dental offices, over 5,800, I've never designed the same building. Wow. I was saying, so every day is a new challenge, a new building. So that's what's fun about it. Dan's particular spot, and Michelle found it actually when she was doing a video of the space, and there was an electrical panel. All right. Yeah. And we saw where, you know, like, if we've removed that electrical panel, where would there be a value to that? Okay, let's keep it and save that money for Dan, that he could put the money towards the real cool guest lounge area he wants to create. Or do we move it for a value? And we saw where we kept that. Danny, we did a couple study plans, and we saw that it's best if we save the money and keep that electrical panel where it was located. And so it's, again, value engineering the space and saving the client money, because this is a startup. It's a business. So the less money they can spend on construction, the more can pull for equipment and for the overall look of the of office itself. But Shane, you asked a great question. We send out a pre-package to Dr. Dan, who will send out a module, a design module. And it's going to ask him a lot of numerous questions, and maybe questions he never thought of. And that was the idea of it. And then when that comes back, our team analyzes that that booklet, that module. And then, Dan, how long did we talk? You, Michelle and you and me, we talked for like 2.5 hours.
Just the first conversation.
I mean,
yeah,
it's the quickest 2.5 hours of your life.
Yeah. And then several countless more hours like revising and, you know, what if we did this? What if we turn that? And then, oh, the front desk. That was another saga. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
That was another one. But Shane, not every space is the same. Not every dentist is the same. Okay, I could have the same conversation, same module from another pediatric dentist, and they have a completely different prescription of what they want to see. So that's why Dan and I really got engaged with it, and his thoughts were jumping off the pages. So he had so much information, I could just about start designing it without talking to him. But after we started talking, Dan, we started talking about your relationship with your future associate. You know, we're not even talking about right now. We're talking about the future and how the office would be populated with the new equipment as his career grows. So it was just an exciting 2.5 hours of that initial conversation.
Yeah. Wow. So this is really something that, you know, this is not a short-sighted thing. This isn't, you know, hey, what's going to get us, you know, up and started and be the most convenient. It's like you're really looking out into the future to see what the – what yes. the goals are, because I mean, this is going to be it.
And one of the key things,
Dan, how long did you had a 10 plus five?
There were six.
You have a 10 plus five lease. So you have to think about how he's going to be in 15 years from now.
Yeah.
And it being very productive.
Yeah. And one of the things that I was very grateful for was, like, when we started talking, it was while we were negotiating the lease. I knew I wanted the space. We already got past a letter of intent, which is a very serious step. And the lease negotiation, the formal negotiation, maybe took like a month and a half, 2 months. I don't remember exactly. And during that time we were doing this, some people that are doing DIY on their own, no consultant, they might not even think of this until they sign the lease. And then that pushes the whole project back, and going back to the business decision, that could be a real, you know, real dent. Yeah. Real bump in the road.
And you know, one thing that I was actually just having this conversation today, in fact, with an office, and not an Ideal Practices client, but they had purchased a building that was, or didn't purchase the building, but, you know, or leasing it, whatever the case was, but it was a historical building in a certain part of town. And they were due to be open 4 months ago, right? And it's just like one thing after the other kept getting pushed because of little things that they wanted to do with the floor. And that was going to be my next question to you, John. Have you seen that in the past, or is there certain advice or feedback that you give to people who are looking down that route? Because there's a lot more hoops to jump through, I imagine.
There are. Well, before it comes to me, Shane, that's already researched. Our team, before it gets to me, all these stages we have, they're protecting the client. So when it gets to my desk, I know that client is ready to go with this location. So we don't have those hiccups, and we don't have those issues that create the problems of not continuing on with the project. So when we say go, we're going. I mean, we're going to get this doctor in this office. So yeah, that's all taken care of ahead of time.
Yeah. It's a stressful process, especially if you don't have somebody in your corner who's done this before, you know, been there. It's, you don't know what you don't know at the end of the day.
I mean, there's so many things that happen. Even parking, you know, if it's even zoned correctly, if you have enough electrical power, you know, there's so many issues that can keep a doctor, you know, he signs that list. Hey, you signed for it, and this is it, and you're going in here. He's like, oh man, I'm going to be paying for this for the rest of my career here. So it's all fleshed out.
One question I have, and this is for you both can answer this from each of your, you know, professional angles here. But one thing that I thought is interesting as we were researching, you know, into this episode is, you had mentioned before that, you know, there's really never a perfect space for a dental office design. And we know that, you know, when we're looking to do a startup and create our building, sometimes we think that it's just got to be perfect every place, every step of the way. And so first, Dan, let me ask you, when you were looking at different, you know, spaces and all of this, was this a hurdle, I guess, mentally that you had to go through? Not so much. I'm curious to get kind of your feedback on as you were looking at different floors and kind of trying to vision it for yourself.
Yeah. So like the two spaces that I was looking at seriously, the one that I ended up on, the one in the Voorhees, it was by far the most gorgeous space, most modern building, plenty of parking, not the cheapest. So the other spot that I was looking at was more affordable. It had more visibility, and it was next to this great bagel place. So my dream with that spot was to cut a hole in the wall and so I can reach in and grab some bagels while I was doing a class 2 filling. but ultimately, that one didn't work out because there weren't enough windows in the floor plan of the one next to the bagel place. I really, light was important to me. I'm going to be there for 10, maybe more years. And I feel like it's really important psychologically to the health of everyone working there and patients just to have that daylight. So this other space, it was just only, it was built after 2000. Just, you know, I knew we wouldn't have too many hiccups.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of the things that you're looking for, and, you know, you're kind of trying to keep that eye out. Now, John, from your side of things, when somebody, you know, is looking at floor plans or looking at their ideal practice, are they setting themselves up for failure by trying to think it needs to be perfect before they dive in?
That's a good question, Shane. No, there has never been a perfect office that you would rent for a dental office. There's never been a perfect one. There's always something. It could be where the electrical panel is located. Again, it could be where columns are. It could be where the orientation of doors are, windows are. It could be the size and shape of it. You know, that always has a lot to do, have an impact. Shane, there's nothing we can't handle, though. You know, you get a good lease, good location, good demographics. We'll design it in to get your prescription into that office. It's just some are a little bit more difficult than others. But, I could say something at the square the building is, the suite is, the easier it is. If it's long and extruded, it sometimes use up too much floor space with hallway space instead of using it into a room. But whatever you come up with, you know, it's just that, Shane, the most important thing is a proper size. Okay. You have to investigate that as far as how many rooms of production, or as we say, how many operatories you want to have in your facility. You have the proportionate amount of space to have a well-balanced office. There's four main disciplines, Shannon, in the dental office design. There's public, administrative, clinical, and team areas. All right. And all these four areas have to balance each other. They have to be in ratio with each other. Okay, so if, you know, we could, in dance spot, we could have fit, you know, 15 chairs in here. Okay, well, the patients would have been waiting out in their car because there's no waiting room. All right, he wouldn't have a private office. There would only be one bathroom. So you assume I'm being exaggerating there, but you have to have the amount of square feet for the amount of production you want to have in your facility. Once you have that, we can design you a great office.
Wow. So Dan, like, how enlightening was this process for you to be thinking like, okay, what size office do I want to have? What level of production office do I want to have? And then how it kind of all has to, from what John's talking about, those four components have to balance itself out. Like, was this just kind of like mind blown when you were hearing this?
So yeah, absolutely. When you know, I started this process with John, designing the floor plan. I came in with a lot of, you know, interior design ideas, and we were able to make all those work. But what I didn't realize was that once we started designing it, that was essentially forcing me forward and, you know, thrusting me into making a decision on how I want to run the practice. And we had already talked about in my vision call early on about, you know, that I want to have high quality service, that I want to practice dentistry the way I want to, and, you know, give patients lots of time, never have one foot out the door. But when it came time to design the floor plan, we were deciding, well, how many chairs can we fit in this versus how many should we? John just said a minute ago, you know, we could have fit 15 chairs, but ultimately we decided on the number 7, which is a pretty good number that allows me to have 3 quiet rooms for where I'm going to do dental treatment, and then 4 open bay hygiene. That's going to, you know, foster a real sense of community, open airiness, very light. I didn't realize designing the floor plan would also kind of decide how things were going to move, you know, down my career. Yeah.
Yeah. And to your point earlier, John, which this is all just making so much more sense to me now, right? This is why this is just so fascinating. But it's like, when you talked about, you know, your floor plan is money at the end of the day, is revenue. The first thing that came to my head, you know, not being experienced in this particular aspect, was, oh, it probably has to do with, you know, how close, you know, the bays are for the dentist to go from, you know, the lab to each operatory. And maybe that is a piece of it, but really, yeah, it is, to your point, you know, how many chairs are in, how many people can, you know, fit in the waiting area versus, you know, feeling like it's this, you know, overcrowded space when the doctor wants a space that feels more maybe boutique and, you know, small feeling, like just whatever the practice owner's vision is. I mean, that is literally built into a model of the floor plan. I mean, that's just fascinating to me.
The dental offices are more than the operatory, Shane. Everybody concentrates on operatory, which is where you make your money, I understand. It's a whole organic look of it. It's looking at the whole environment. It's, again, it's those four pieces: public, administrative, clinical, and team areas, and how the harmony goes with them. But one of the most fascinating things about pediatric dentists is the movement of the children through the facility. Okay. So we always have to be conscious of that, of what these children are going to experience, because when you're in dentistry, it has such an impact on all your senses, all 5 senses. I mean, from smell to taste to touch to hearing, they're all affected as you're going through this office. It all has to be captured in that floor plan of what they're going to see, not going to see, going to hear, not going to hear. So it's more than just the operatory. It's how this is actually has a heartbeat to it, and how these individuals, both the team and the patients, are going to interact with each other throughout the entire facility. So it's more than just the operatory. You have to think of the whole area.
I think another big thing,
and, you know, go ahead, Dan. Yes.
Yeah. No, another big thing that, you know, we discussed a lot was ergonomics. How much space you're going to have to twist around when, you know, I spend hours in the chair, you know, and in my chair next to the dental chair, and, you know, will I have wiggle space? Will there be enough room for the cabinetry behind me and to the side? Will people be able to move around down the main hallway without bumping into each other? Can two people cross? That was a big thing that John made sure to get in there.
Big thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, where are we going to bring the family comes in with a stroller? I mean, how are they going to be able to maneuver that stroller? And we talked about those hallways so specifically that you and I could walk past each other without turning our bodies. It immediately makes the office seem bigger than it actually is. And it just makes it convenient and just makes people feel a bit more calmer. They're not there interfering or bumping into someone.
Yeah. And at the same time, if you wanted to tango, side to side, we could do that too. But better not to, probably. Yeah.
Well, and one thing that we're going to do for our audience who are watching the video version of this, certainly if you're watching the audio version, we'll kind of try to describe our way through it a little bit, but definitely go to YouTube or go to crimsonmediagroup.com and you can check out the video version of this. But we have the final proposed floor plan that we're going to have pulled up here over the screen. And I, of course, just have a picture of it right now on my end. And let me see if I can just subvert both of our reference here. Can both of you guys see this?
Yeah.
Okay. I would love both of you, as you were kind of, going through and building this together, just maybe walk us through a little bit of, this floor plan and any little things that popped up or, tricks that, were unexpected, whatever the case is, would love to kind of walk our audience through this because this is a beautiful floor plan.
This worked out well. Worked out well. Dan, you want to select one component you wanted to talk about? I mean, let's talk about the airplane in the guest lounge. And Shane, we call it a guest lounge. We don't call it a waiting room. We want the patients to feel they are a guest in a lounge atmosphere. Make these children feel calm. And Dan had this fantastic idea about this airplane theme in the office. And that just ran with us and how we designed the length and the width of the guest lounge area.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking at this video and you see the front door and you're walking in and you got the guest lounge there and you got some seating. So what you don't see is this long wall at the top of the floor plan. That is the what I'm calling the feature wall. And one of the things I'm super excited about right now, and I'm working with an artist to build this, is we're going to be building what's going to look like the inside of a fuselage of an airplane. Because I love traveling. I love seeing other cultures, learning about other people's cultures. And this just ties that all in. And so there's going to be this airplane with an awesome mural above it, and the chairs are going to be resembling airplane chairs, but a lot more legroom, I promise. So we figured out that would be the perfect wall for that. The other thing that I was really passionate about was making sure there was enough space in this guest lounge in the common space where we'd be able to host community events. And what I mean by that, and maybe we'll get more into this in a future episode, is that my wife, Michelle, and I, we want to host, we know as parents of young kids that it's really hard sometimes to figure out, having events for your kids, your toddlers to go to without spending, a lot of money. So what we want to do in this space is to have things like, mommy and me, parent and me, events, story time, movie nights, something like that. And this was completely designed with that in mind so that it can be transformed during a lunch hour or on a Saturday in order to make that work for us. So you're going to see, this 2D image really come to life in a few months.
Yeah. We concentrated on where the monitors were going to be so you could have those events, Dan. It was really taking into consideration the focal point of where people would be sitting. And it was exciting to see.
Right. Yeah.
Is there any one question on that? But as you're talking about the guest lounge and kind of the greeting area, this is something that I've always been curious about. Is there ever a certain, do's and don'ts of your guest lounge area versus your front desk and your scheduling coordinators and all of that? And are there any I guess, do's and don'ts of that that people should be aware of when they're looking at doing this?
Well, it's all in the balance. It's all in the proportion. We, Dan and I calculated the amount of chairs we would need in relationship to the amount of production. So we had seven rooms of production. When he's have all seven rooms equipped, we want to make sure that the patients and the parents felt comfortable in the guest lounge. So they weren't sitting right next to each other and being constrained. So we want to make sure we had that, and we achieved that. They calculated how many we would have with production, and we have the proper amount of seating. So that's the one thing. You, again, it's all in balance, Shane. You have to make sure you, this complements the clinical end of the project. As far as the administrative area, again, Dan and I calculated how many patients would be coming in. Now, this is when all seven rooms are equipped, when all the patients are coming in, and then most especially when patients are exiting. That is the most important thing you have to analyze when you're designing dental offices, because people have things to do. The patients are done with their procedure. Mom and dad have to get back to work. They have to get back to kid, back, take them back to school. They have to get out of it. We have to make that as seamless as we can to make sure we have the proper personnel in the administrative area to do that. So Dan was very helpful with me, with helping me calculate the amount of team members we needed in the administrative area.
Awesome. That's awesome. Man, this is cool.
There were like random things that came at the last minute. Like I was working with, it's a very good square footage, but still a limited space. And I didn't have a separate room for a future practice administrator, what some people call an office manager. So we kind of carved this little nook in the bottom left of the floor plan where it'll allow an administrator to do their work, get some privacy, not have to necessarily tend to any, onlooking eyes, while at the same time, they could step out and help the rest of the front desk team if they need to. So that was something that like John, was able to carve out there that I never would have seen.
Well, that was, you see five positions populated on that plan. Dan's not going to be hiring five people. All right. That is just one of these positions that someone has to go. And if they're not discussing a payment transaction with the patient and they have to do some clerical work or some practice administrator work, they have a little bit of space that is freed from the other area, but they do have their eyes and ears of knowing what's going on with the practice.
Yeah. That's really a good idea to think again. It's about forecasting, right? The future. I mean, this is the reoccurring theme that I keep hearing, having an office manager in the practice at some point, knowing that they need, that privacy, would want to have some of that privacy when they're working on certain things. And I think that was just a really, really neat way to work that in to this space. My personal one, I got to ask about, just because it's the kid in me, the prize towers, section. I mean, we got to talk about the prize tower section here, Dan. Tell us what we got in store for that.
Oh my God. Y'all have to just come and see. I mean, if you're a good little boy, you'll get a token and you can put it in. We're actually shopping around right now for prize towers. So we'll see, but you can guarantee that there's going to be some unique things in there.
There's going to be something cool there for sure. I know you, and I know that, you're going to have something, neat for that. Now let's work our way into here. And I know we're starting to get a little short on time, but I do want to hit on just some of the operatory areas, as well as kind of the back portion of the office, where, Dr. Dan's got his private office and everything's too. But John, can you maybe walk us through, the having this, hygiene bay here with the four chairs that we're seeing on the screen, and then also the additional treatment rooms, and just kind of, the thought process into that through your conversations with Dan and Michelle?
Well, one thing we wanted to make sure is what we established, Shane, was that the four disciplines, public, administrative, clinical, and team areas, they all touch each other, but they don't overlap each other. As you can see with this plan, there in the upper left-hand corner is the public area. That's the guest lounge. That's the patient's restroom. The lower left-hand corner is the administrative area. The central core area is the clinical area. And then the far right-hand is the team area. Okay? So you see where all these four areas touch each other, but they don't overlap each other. So you don't have someone in the guest lounge looking right into the break room. Or, you know, you see, we strategically located the team lavatory because nobody thinks doctors use the bathroom during the day. So you want to make sure it's in a strategic location that that doesn't happen. More specifically, Dan and I really talked about the hygiene bay and how he's going to use that. And one of the things that he brought out was so important. He says, John, I want to be treating families, and I don't want mom and dad bouncing them back and forth to chairs. So we had to think of how he was going to start out this practice, but then grow into it. So that's why we decided, you notice on the four chairs, chairs one and two and chairs three and four have a divider between them. Okay. Two and three does not. So that's where the family would be. Mom and dad would sit between two and three, you know, Bill would be a chair number two, Susan be a chair number three, and she doesn't have to move. All right. So when he first starts out, though, when he only buys two chairs in the open bay, he would have a family, one family in chair number one, and he would have multiple children in the chair number two. So it really flowed well with him, us looking at the future and how he was going to have all four chairs and how he was going to work with them. And then the three separate rooms, the quiet rooms, as we call them, we have specifically talked about the size and width of how he was going to manipulate them, his work surface, where he wanted that to be allocated, and where he wanted the patient's parents to be located. Dan was very specific about how he wanted, when he walked into the treatment room, he wanted to have eye-to-eye contact with the parent right away. Right. So that he can greet them, talk to them a little bit. And then as he was progressing around the chairs and was going to wash his hands, he could have interaction with the child. So all rooms are dual entry and easy for your team members to use. Very super efficient. So they're all created. And Dan, of course, will have the two rooms that will have windows, of course. And then his associate will have the other room. But they're all interchangeable. You can do any procedure you want to in any of those three rooms. So that's pretty much how we design the clinical end of things, is conscious of him being close to the hygiene bay, but how the hygiene bay would be used in a unique way with children in the family.
That's awesome. And Dan, how cool was this, just to see this all come to life and really just, I mean, this is, you know, that each of these stages are milestones, certainly.
Yeah.
And so exciting. But when you actually see a John Malone floor plan come together based off of your vision that and things that you've discussed, I mean, what's this, you know, feeling like? And this has got to get you amped up.
Yeah, this step really really thrusts us forward in the process. And you know, anyone who knows me from my social media stuff and with the reels, like all of a sudden, once I had this floor plan, I started daydreaming like, oh my God, like I can't wait to do like a tour of the office on Instagram and like, you know, start doing like goofy videos in the airplane and like all sorts of like ideas started running down my head. And I do have a Google Doc right now of like three pages ready to go once we open in the summer. so yeah, it really brought the space to life and then started, you know, the gears moving.
Yeah, it's cool. And as we kind of, you know, wrap up here, because I mean, this, I learned so much first off from this. You know, I'm a marketer. You know, I go into, can't say, countless number of dental offices, you know, throughout the years, but now I'm going to be able to look at these totally differently when I go in them. So I'm really just, I'm kind of geeking out here a little bit. But John, as we kind of, you know, go through what you just shared, you know, so many valuable pieces of insight, but I would love to, for those listening who are considering, you know, doing a startup one of these days, maybe it's, you know, a year from now, maybe it's 5-10 years from now. But what are some just kind of final, you know, words of wisdom or words of advice that you would give those when they're, you know, coming to the floor plan layout side, that you would say, you know, in your years of doing this, you know, here's a few things to look out for, or just be conscious of?
Well, it goes back to we're talking about the proper square feet. That's what you need. Now I'm assuming that you've had someone that researched the lease, your finances, you have demographics. That's all figured out. And we have a property office that can be a dental office. But then it's mostly the square feet, Shane. You have to have the right amount of square feet. And because a lot of times I hear later, John, I should have listened to you. I should have went for that extra space. Because yes, we can fit it in there as balanced as we can, but I understand it's a budget. You have to get in there. I mean, with the cost of materials and labor today, we don't have as much value to our dollars as we did years ago. So you can't have that big space you can right to start with. So we do the best we can, but try to listen to that ratio of square feet per rooms of production. That's a key design element. And to know that there's more to the dental office than an operatory, all right? It's everything. Everything has to fit together.
Boom. Those are what we call value bombs in the business. Dan, from your end here, this was a big step, as you mentioned earlier. What's one of the things after the floor plan has kind of been, finalized that you're just really stoked about? Like, what is there just kind of like one thing where you're just like, this worked out perfectly?
From the floor plan. Yeah. You know what? I was really happy. I was really happy about two things. So first, I already touched on how we're going to make the guest lounge a community space, and that all worked out. We covered that. I was also really thrilled that the hygiene bay and the hallway, the main hallway, is going to be open concept. And so, that the place is just going to be lit up along the walls, along the highway. We're going to have really fun, like LED neon signs, very like Instagrammable spots. People are going to want to take fun pictures there. And like, I don't know, I'm envisioning just having a lot of like goofy, fun times with patients and friends and family. Just it's going to be a really fun space, and like I want it to be all out there in the open for everyone to like be a part of.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. And everybody listening to this, you're gonna see it all come to life, and that's what's gonna make this journey so sweet. So John Malone, Ideal Practices, thank you so much for hopping on here and sharing those insights that you did. I know that is going to be a tremendous value to those that are listening. I know I learned a ton, and I said, I'll never see dental offices the same again. I never will. This will be, I'll be putting my architect type glasses on for when I'm walking through the next office space. And Dan, for you, what's kind of like, the next, phase you're really excited about? I think we're going to talk marketing here soon and talk a little bit about branding as well. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited about that, but what's kind of the next big move for you outside of just kind of the branding thing that we'll hit on our future episode?
Today we just dropped the website. Our coming soon landing page just went live and launched. We just put that out into the world. So we're like finally going to get potential patients signing up to the VIP list, and they're going to get updates on, on the information and stuff like that. And I have a really big surprise in store for you, Shane, for the next episode when we talk about marketing. And you're only going to see it live if you watch the video portion of this podcast.
Well, we're all wanting to know. we're super pumped about that. I mean, I know. I mean, what am I kidding? But yeah, I cannot.
No. You don't. You will say you'll.
Oh, I don't.
No. You've never had a client do this.
Oh, look at Dan bringing surprises to me. This is something.
Yep.
Oh man.
I guarantee you, you've never had a client do this for marketing. I'll leave it at
that. Okay. This is Well, now I can't wait. I'm excited for it now too. See, this is what you do to your co-hosts. You even leave a little cliffhanger for them. I like that. That's good. Yeah. Well, thank you everybody for listening and tuning into this episode, diving into everything you need to know about floor plans and building your dream dental startup practice. Thanks for listening to the Dental Practice Lodge podcast. This episode 4. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with episode 5. And if you're catching this one a little bit later, then episode 5 is probably out. Of course, you can find us on anywhere you find your podcasts, YouTube. We're on there as well. And be sure to go give Dan a follow on Instagram. We'll have his IG tagged on here. Follow the great people at Ideal Practices as well. If you're looking to start a dental practice, they are the people to go to. They are fantastic. And you know, as you've probably seen from just some of these episodes that we've done already, the work has been impeccable. And of course, you know, Crimson Media for all your startup dental marketing needs. And with that being said, gentlemen, let's keep it going and on to the next for Voorhees Pediatric Dentistry.
Thank you so much for involving me.
Thanks, guys.
All right, you're welcome.